WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Doug Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. This is a special sports presentation on the Beaver Radio Network. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network. Every Wednesday, starting at 6, the Coach's Huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
Down low, left corner for Owen Sillinger. It's stolen away from him. Turned over, Iarullo shoots and scores! Alex Iarullo! A gift from Michigan Tech, and he buries it.
The Tom Ceratori Show with Brian Schultz, Brian Bissonette, and Kelly Schultz. Stop by for a cold beer and the best wings in town, and we might just pick up your tab. You're home for the Beavers for 23 years. The Beaver Radio Network is WMIS-FM 92.1, The River.
So that's how tonight's going to start. I just completely ignore what I told the machine to do. Good evening and welcome to the Tavern, the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Schultz and Biss, Kel is off tonight. The head coach of the Beavers, Tom Ceratori, is with us. Five-point weekend last weekend. Tom, Lake State coming to town this weekend. Kind of knew this was going to be a big stretch at home. Need to bank as many points as possible. 5 out of 6 will do, but you're greedy, aren't you?
You're exactly right, Schultz. And you know, we were so close, obviously, for 6 points, and we've let a couple of those games. I don't want to say slip away, because again, there's extenuating circumstances. You know, Tech scores obviously with a minute 58 or whatever it was left in the game on a 6-on-4. You know, it was kind of a fluky goal the other night, and then we give up a goal in a 0-0 game. We turn the puck over with a minute 40 to go. In Northern Michigan. So, you know, we have left some quality points on the table by, you know, giving up some leads in the last 2 minutes. But at the end of the day, we put ourselves in position, too, to win some of those games. So, you know, it's a little disappointing at times. But then again, I think when you look at the overall complexion of 5 out of 6 points, you know, like you said, it you'll take it.
It's hard to sweep these days. I mean, you haven't had one, right?
No, we haven't. Yes, we haven't. And, I mean, I think the oddest series was Ferris State. We won and tied and got 3 points. They lost and tied and got 3 points. I mean, that's the first time since we've went to the 3-point games that this has happened to us.
I remember when the WCHA Women's League first started going with shootouts. They went 2-point game in regulation, 3-point game if it went to overtime. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard.
Are you kidding? They did that?
Yes.
That's what the NHL does.
You could be a dominant team and win every game in regulation. Be 34-0.
No doubt.
You could be a team that is lousy. You can't win a game in regulation, but you win in a shootout, and you'd have the same number of points.
But, Schultz, I don't want to sit there and say you're wrong, but I think you're wrong. If they're like the NHL, they're 3-point games, but 2 for the winner and 1 for the loser. I think that's what they did. They weren't giving 3 for a shootout winner and 2 for a regulation.
The WCHA women gave you 2 points for a regulation win.
That makes zero sense.
The game was worth 3 points total if it went into overtime. One team got 2, one team got 1.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I got you. But, I mean, the winning team still gets 2 points.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if you win in regulation, you only got 2 points.
I know that. The NHL is the same way.
It's dumb.
I don't think there's any question. You have to – and it's weird. I talked to an assistant general manager in the National Hockey League. When we went to the 3-point games, and I think it was 2017, 2016, I was at a USHL camp in August, and he was an assistant general manager in the NHL. I went up to him at breakfast. His kid was playing, and in the camp, and I asked him. I said, "What do you think?" Because I go, "We have a conference call later this afternoon," and I go, "What do you think?" He goes, "No, don't do what we're doing." No, but hear me out though. He said, "They're doing the right thing." He says, "But don't do what we're doing." He said, "The reason we do you is you have to have the same amount of points every game. In other words, we're at a 3-point game. You know, at 3 for a win, two for a shootout or three-on-three win and one for obviously a shootout or three-on-three loss. So he goes, go consistent. He goes, the only reason he goes, you know, the only reason we do what we do is because you don't want to have a team over the course of your sample size. He goes, that's, he goes, how many games do you guys play? I go, we're going to play 28. That's, you know, 28 regular season games. He goes, we play 84. He goes, so you, what you don't want at that time, I still remember, Edmonton was one of the worst teams in the league. He goes, you can't have Edmonton down 70 points in March. He goes, they're going to, he goes, it's going to, he goes, their attendance will get cut in half. He said, so it's all about butts in the seats. And he goes, the optics of it, you can't make it look that bad over the course. He goes, your sample size at 28 games, keep it consistent. Keep it at three-point games. He goes, honestly, if you have your first-place team and your eighth-place team, it shouldn't be that ugly, you know, the difference. And, you know, he made a good point. He goes, but he goes, what we're doing is probably, he goes, it doesn't make sense. And then he made a comment. He goes, there was a team, and I'm not going to mention the team right now, but he goes, there was a team that made the playoffs in the 2000s, early 2000s, actually made the playoffs because they were really, like you said, they were really good. They won a lot of games, three-on-three or in the shootout. And he said if they would have went to, like, 3 points, they wouldn't have made the playoffs, and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, so anyway, to make it
long. Seven and eight seeds make the Stanley Cup Finals all the time in the NHL.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have, though, if they went.
Yeah, they wouldn't have even made it.
They made it, as one, you know. And he goes, it's just interesting. But he goes, you know what? Anyway, we've had coaches in college hockey. We've had this debate on the floor that they wish they'd want to go to the NHL model. And I'm just going, no. We have to play for the same amount of points every game. You can't have 3 points for this game and 2 points for, you know, yesterday's game, for example. This doesn't make sense.
Well, and this all comes about because, of course, people were sick of ties. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where a tie was a tie. And nowadays, you know, obviously to rectify that, and I remember one year you guys had like 14 of them.
Well, we have four of them right now. We've had six games.
Yeah.
We've had six games of our 14 going overtime. We had three out of 39 going overtime last year. We had no ties last year. We
that
had three.
Is crazy.
You didn't have a shootout last year, did
no,
you?
No, we didn't. We had no ties. So we had three. I might have this wrong, but I think I'm spot on. I actually asked one of our players today. We beat St. Thomas on the line change. We beat North Dakota, Ross Armour's goal, and we lost to Bowling Green in the 3-on-3. So I think we had 3 3-on-3 games last year. You remember another one, Schulte, offhand?
No.
And so we had 3 out of 39. Yeah. We already have 6 out of 14.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, again, the year that you had like 13, 14 ties was one of the years. I mean, I'm like, this is enough. I mean, come on. Let's have some finality for the fans.
No, this is good, though. What we're doing now is awesome.
Yeah.
It's great for the game. It's great for the fans. Even those shootouts. Even that North Dakota one that didn't mean, I know I'm probably ruffling your feathers, Schulte. Even that North Dakota game, which was, you know, it was irrelevant. It was a moot point. Fans still, well, they were into it. And at the end of the day, I'll say it, this game, and we have some coaches, again, in college hockey who don't look at it this way. They just worry about, you know, what a win, a loss, or the optics of it. It's for the fans, and it's for the players. The coaches are third. Teams are third. It's the players and the fans. The players love it and the fans love it, and that's what matters.
I don't know if I want to be this blunt, but that's how I roll. Are coaches concerned that if they're losing too many times in shootouts, that it's a quote-unquote loss, their fans are going to get upset? And
I don't know.
Big-time programs, he needs to be fired?
You know what? But if they're... You know what? You're not going to get fired.
You better
shootout,
not.
Not a shootout loss. You're going to get fired because you're having two or three bad years in a row is what I'm getting at. So, I don't know, Schulte. Some of these guys claim to be purists. But you know what? The thing is, this day and age, there's not a player. There's not a player on our team or anybody's team that even knows what a tie is anymore.
When did the NHL go to shootouts?
Oh, early. I'm going to say.
Like 2005-ish?
Yes.
Six-ish?
I think it was yes. That was when the big rule changes came, which I think was 05. I know in 06 it was they had 3-point games, so I'm going to say you might be spot on. 05, 04, whatever. It's been a long time, and again, like these kids today, they don't know what overtime is. They don't know what 5-on-5 over. They've played 3-on-3. Youth hockey, junior hockey. The only level the only level I know now that does not do 3-on-3 or shootouts is high school. But midget hockey, like all over the world. I'm talking the world.
Yeah, well, it's high school, dude. Just a 5-minute 5-on-5 overtime, right?
And I don't even know. Is that what it is?
I think it is.
Yeah, but it's 5-on-5 overtime. Right. Yeah, yeah. And it ends. I know that.
Yeah, and then it ends as a tie.
And I think it's a travesty because they'd have so much fun.
High school kids now, they were just being born then when the NHL went to.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
And the purist thing, I mean, that argument kind of flies out because, I mean, the rules have changed all along.
Big
I mean,
time.
You know, I mean, that's what happens as things progress.
100%.
Change, you know?
No, this is the new normal.
Absolutely.
This is the new normal, and I think it's way better for the game. And, I love it.
I don't think there's going any back. I mean, could you imagine let's go back to the ties. I mean,
no.
Who's going to be in favor of that?
No.
Nah, this is we got it figured out.
Yeah,
took us a while,
but
we got it figured out. And the NHL started it. You know, we're always about 3-4, whatever, a couple of years behind. Yeah. But I love what we're doing.
Going back to last week's series with St. Thomas, how important is it for your offense's sustained ability to score consistently?
Oh, it's huge.
To get scoring from your defensemen? You got it last week.
It's huge. Like, if you take a look at the teams in college hockey that win, and again, you have to get over 3 a game. We talk about that. You got to get to 3. And one of us gets to 3 on Saturday, there's a winner. You know, it's pretty simple. You know.
But your defense, you know, with all the talent there, they just haven't scored many goals. They did get you a
it's
couple.
It's not goals, Biss.
Well, I know.
Don't worry about goals. If you take a look at teams that are scoring, they've got a couple defensemen who are getting a lot of points, and it's assists. Defensemen are going to get assists. You know, Rogie's going to get a couple goals, but he's going to get a lot of assists. He can make plays, and that's what you do. They got to get pucks through the first layer or the second layer. They got to go D to D. They got to find somebody off the post. They got to be quick in transition. I mean, they're going to get some goals, but I mean, the bottom line is the majority of their offense is going to be generated. You know, they're going to be assists. And Rosie can help generate offense because when he has the puck on his stick, he can make so many different types of plays.
Well, and I think that was so surprising that he hasn't had more goals because he's certainly had the opportunities. I mean, you know, he's in the play.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's getting assists, but it's just surprising that he didn't have as many goals as I had thought he had because it seems like he's always, you know, involved with the offense.
But it's hard. It's hard. Like, it's a lot easier for those guys to make plays and get assists than to score goals. That's all I'm getting at. Goals are hard.
Goals are hard for forwards.
No doubt.
We're sitting on the post.
But you have a creative defenseman is what I'm getting at. You got a creative defenseman who basically, he drives you. Rosie drives our offense.
There is no doubt who your top three defensemen were going to be coming into the year. It was all seniors. Loft, Zmolik, and Rosen. And I'm drawing a blank here. Just thinking of this question while you were talking. Back with Tommy Muck. Back with Matt Prepovesis. Back with Zach Whitecloud. Were you three deep that were that deep?
We were pretty deep. I mean, I look at – yeah, I mean, it all depends on how you want to look at it. I'm not going to sit there and compare this three against that three. But, I mean, I take a look at, you know, when we had – you know, and I sometimes, guys, I apologize. I can't remember totally what years guys were together. But I'm just saying, when we had Eicher and we had Billy, we had Mucker, we had Justin Beaudry. I mean, like, we've had some pretty good cores, you know. And
who was playing along with Wendell and Rendell? I mean, those two were out on the ice.
Well, Prap was here then.
Prap was. Wendell and Rendy were our shutdown guys. They were our shutdown guys.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, they were our shutdown guys. And then that, you know what,
we remember when Prap was like maybe a sophomore when those two guys were seniors?
Nah, I think Prap might have been.
No, he was kind of with them,
I think he was too. And again, I could be a year off.
Close,
We all could be. And it all blends together. But we would put Prap against twos and threes all the time. We would, our matchups. And we would put Rendy and Wendy against ones all the time. That's why, again, sometimes I always laugh. People say, well, he's a minus player. Well, if you're going to play against the opposing team's best team, you're going to be a minus. It's just, you know what, and that's what's crazy about Rosie and Will right now. They're pluses. It's crazy.
Big-time pluses.
Yes, with the heavy minutes they're playing, it just tells you the level they're at right now. Because, basically that should be the heavy minutes they're playing. I mean, that's, and, you know. They should be minuses.
Granted, they don't get a plus for power play goals, but they don't get a minus for penalty kill goals allowed either. So, I mean, that's a legit number.
No, it's big time. They are logging heavy 5-on-5 minutes against the opposition's best line or best two lines. Well, all the time.
The game on Friday was pretty, entertaining, but interesting. I mean, you guys obviously took the lead. You had a two-goal lead, and then you don't give up two goals in the last minute and a half of a period very often, which obviously is going to be very frustrating.
Oh, it's brutal.
But I thought you answered about as good as you could coming right out of the period and scoring.
Well, we did, Biss. We answered back, 30 seconds in, and, that was a feel-good goal, boy, because, again, we needed that.
Yeah.
I was not a happy camper, nor, it was just, again, you go into the locker room, you go into the locker room 3-1 versus 3-3. We all know the difference psychologically. And, that was a tough one. But, again, we won the game. And afterwards, I said, at the end of the day.
They did what was needed.
My thing is, I don't want to learn a lesson in a loss. I want to learn a lesson in a win. And we learned a lesson you hope you learned a lesson, I should say, but that's the moral.
Yeah. See this week.
Yeah, that's our moral of the story, guys. Those are the baby steps sometimes, and those are the things you want to build on.
Again, the Beavers 6-4 winners last Friday. It was a 2-2 tie then on Saturday with the Beavers winning in the shootout. So got 5 out of 6 points. Lake State comes to town this weekend. Games Friday and Saturday. We'll take a break, come back to the tavern. It's the Tom Ceratori Show right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
Hi, Dan the GM man.
And Sam the Chevy man.
We are here to let you know that Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji has been awarded Business of the Year by the Bemidji Chamber.
Also, we have received the Director's Choice Award from the Bemidji United Way.
We would like to thank all of our loyal customers and partners who support us and our community. Remember, Donlinger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji for all your automotive needs.
Chevy, find new roads.
Donlinger Chevrolet Buick.
The to-do list you have needs just one more thing. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch just about anything. Go to happy hour and, stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Non-cold refreshment made to chill. 2022 Coors Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
One great reason to be a kid? Just being a kid qualifies you for the BRN Kids Club. Free membership for all kids 0 to 13 years old. Get invited to exclusive club events. Receive special offers from our sponsors, Bemidji Co-op, A&W, The Green Mill in Bemidji, Bemidji Bowl, and BSU Athletics. The club that does more and gives you more. Meals, savings, discounts, sporting events, and prize drawings. Visit BRNKids.com and sign up today. BRNKids.com, part of your Beaver Radio Network. The voice of Bemidji State University Sports.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern, the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. 6 games this weekend on the Beaver Radio Network. Men's hockey hosting Lake Superior State Friday and Saturday. Women's hockey is off this weekend. Both basketball teams are on the road. MSU Moorhead on Friday and Northern State on Saturday. We'll have all 6 for you right here on the Beaver Radio Network. Oddly enough, somebody comes and talks to the coach.
You should be used to that, right?
Never mind, this is live. It was odd that...
See you later, pal.
That's exactly how we felt at the John Glass Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
People just stop by the press box and start talking to us. Can you announce that it's my sister's birthday?
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. If somebody's lights are on in the parking lot. Okay, thanks.
Need some
glass. We're the radio people.
This is not COVID related, but we need plexiglass around us. Oddly enough, Tom, you were talking in the first segment how this game is for the fans and the players, and I wanted to talk about your alums today, which your former players and your current fans. Generally speaking, alums are the lifeblood of any program, correct? They build the program.
Absolutely.
And they then sustain it afterwards, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you stand on the shoulders on the players who played before you. That was an NRH term, and I think that's so true and so fitting.
The easy ways for the casual fan to think of, you know, the alums, and they all get together for the Galen Eagle Golf Tournament. Over the years, that tournament's raised an awful lot of money for your program. There are a lot of other ways, though, that your alums are involved. You guys just recently started a deal where alums can sponsor meals on the road with
anybody,
the teams.
Anybody. We have fans do it, too. So I want to make sure, too, if anybody's listening, hey, I mean, things are expensive out there. The budgets are high. You know what? Meals are expensive. You know, gas, we all know, right, you know, how difficult it is.
And we're out on buses. Yep, diesel's over, you know, five and a half
exactly
a gallon.
Exactly. At major college hockey, you know what? And, you know, we're competing against teams that, you know, are, you know, they're getting some pretty good, you know what, financial backing, you know, with NILs and things like that, you know. And at the end of the day, no, I mean, we've had a lot of fans step to the plate too and want to sponsor meals. So, no, it's much appreciated. But, you know, the majority of the time it's alumni, but now we got a lot of our fans doing it. So it's good. It's kind of trickled to our fans.
And it's not just away games, right? I think I
saw
home games.
Home games, yeah.
Thursday meal was sponsored.
Absolutely. We're doing more and more of it now, Biss. We're trying to take it to that next level. And, I mean, it's – and, you know, I could tell you this, our alums love it. And the reason they like it, they know it's going – they know it's going directly right to those players. And if they take a look at – some of the most fondest memories our alums had are at our meals. And it's weird, but again, 10 years down the road, 15 years, even 5 years down the road, you forget about the wins and losses, but you never forget about your buddies and the, you know, and really the good times that you had with your teammates. And a lot of them are on the road. So anyway, that's what we do, and that's really been a nice shot in the arm, Schultze.
How have your Thursday night meals changed from when you played till now?
Well, we never had them.
Well, that's a big difference.
No, they're like it's.
You were on your own, in other words.
Basically, yeah. It is what it is. So, I mean, it's just the way times are different, guys. You know?
And so what do they need to do if they want to sponsor a meal?
Just get a hold of me.
You were.
And just get a hold of me, you know, via text or via email, and just let me know. And, Tom, I'd love to sponsor a meal. You know, I'll give the logistics, and we'll go from there. It's, and, you know, and we get, and there's recognition on Facebook, on our Twitter account and on Instagram. And, you know, so there is recognition. And
I've seen some of the players that you're in their town. Do they come to the dinner sometimes? Do they ever come see you?
Well, I mean, like when we played at St. Thomas last year, we went to Mancini's, and Matt Reed and Kyle Hardwick, you know, they came, ate with us, and they just split it. They put their credit cards out and split it right down the middle.
Well, cool.
You know, and usually what we do is just it's a donation to the – we pay, and then they just, you know, obviously get invoiced by the foundation, but you know, since Reeder and Hardy were there,
we'll take care of it right
exactly.
Now. That's pretty cool.
Let's not kid ourselves. Nutrition and the science behind it has changed since you played. The Thursday meal is important now.
Oh, big time. And it's so important part of the camaraderie and, you know, the culture and the fabric of every team.
Well, and they think about it now. Did you? I mean, I know I didn't. About what you were eating, really?
Yeah, we were. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say we were all health freaks. No, but I mean, we were pretty cognizant. I mean, we were pretty cognizant. You know, but the thing is, I think what went on, you know, when we were playing, the nutrition was a little different. I don't think that you'd want that today when we're talking steaks and potatoes and things like that. It was just a little different, but that was the thing in those particular days. More, you know, that protein and, you know.
Thursday, the day before.
Exactly.
And then you eat lighter on the day of.
So again, that's taken on a whole new level, too, from a nutritional aspect.
What other ways can your alums help, for lack of a better term?
Well, I mean, they do a lot of different things. I mean, obviously, again, whether they want to give to a scholarship fund, whether they want to give to the meal, whether they want to come to the Nagel, but more importantly, they're just ambassadors for the program. You know, they're out there rooting for us. Here's my thing I tell our guys all the time. I go, you know what, when you become an alum, I go, here's the deal. I go, every Friday and Saturday, they're on College Hockey News. The majority of them are. And they're following you. And it's, you know, and if we have a lead, there's a fist pump. And if we're down, there's a oh darn, you know, and that's the beauty. I mean, like, we're their team forever. And, you know, they win with you. and there's a smile on their face, there's enthusiasm. And when we lose, you know, they're bummed out too. I mean, again, they take it personal. I mean, no, they could forget about it quicker than we do, but that they should. But for a moment there, they're bummed out. They know exactly what's going on is what I'm getting at, and that's what's kind of cool. I mean, we're their team forever.
Well, and, that's
the Beavers are their team.
And you're, as a coach, you get to see that.
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
Whenever you, like, when you beat Wisconsin, I'm sure your phone lit up, right?
It lights up. These big wins, guys, it lights up. And here's one of my problems with this transfer portal. Some of those guys will never have a team to root for because they got a divorce from one team, and then they're hired gun for another team. That's how I look at it.
And they're not at the second team long enough really to develop roots.
No. And sometimes, but at the end of the day, that's kind of part of my thing. And you know, and not, I'll say this: not maybe with somebody's fit, like Pick's going to be St. Lawrence forever, and he should be, you know. And
he's from there.
Yeah, that's their team, though. And yeah, that's, you know what, but this is going to, the fifth year thing's going to die in 2 years, you know. But I'm just talking about the natural, like the transfer portal, or you know, it's just, that's the problem, is that you're never going to have that team where you can fist pump. You can a little bit, but it's not really, you know, it's kind of tainted a little bit. That's how I look at it, and I think I'm right on.
I don't think it's going to go back, though. I mean, you know.
No, genie's
out of the bottle. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it changes the landscape of everything. I mean, not just that, but obviously recruiting. And, I mean, from a player's perspective, it opens up more options that weren't realistic, I guess, before then.
Well, again, and everybody's banking on, and I know we weren't supposed to talk about this tonight, but that's one kind of one aspect to this where, you know, what we're talking about alumni, and, you know, you're just never going to have that strong alumni affinity to the team you went to. And then, obviously, the team you left, you know, that still weighs on you, and it weighs on everybody else.
I'm not going to mention names, but in almost 20 years here, I know there have been former players that want to play more, are upset that they didn't play more.
Oh, yeah.
Every player that doesn't play every single game is going to feel that way. And there are guys that I have gone to the Nagel and just shaking hands and kissing babies. Like, so-and-so's back? And they come back every year. Guys that I never thought would have that tie still do.
Well, it's their buddies. A lot of it's their buddies. And you know what happens to you, Schulze? And again, I'll say it. I just said it 5 minutes ago. When you leave here, nobody cares how many goals you had. Nobody cares how many assists you had. Nobody really cares how many shifts you had. Were you a good guy? Were you a good teammate? Honestly, that's what it's about. Like, we overthink all this stuff. And, you know, and that's the problem, is that those players get all the accolades, who get the points and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the guys in the locker room know that we're all the same. You know, we all obviously, again, there's a lot of guys who work their tail off, who maybe aren't as talented as the person that, you know, gets the minutes. But at the end of the day, you know, they add a lot of value to the team. So the players know. And, you know, and then again, as time goes on, they're wrapped up in their own little world. They got their jobs. They got their they got their family. And, you know, it just becomes so secondary. And it's like, who gives a rip?
How important is it for multiple events like the Nagel, so that you can get as many of those guys back as you can? And I don't know what other kind of events you could do.
Well, even alumni weekend during the winter, which we have, we're going to have one February 3rd and 4th when we play Tech. It's going to be hockey alumni weekend, and we won't get a boatload of alums here because we're stuck in a pretty tough location. I mean, this is not an easy place to get to. And when you're living in the Twin Cities or Western Canada or wherever, but you always think of the Twin Cities as it's not an easy trip when you've got maybe some kids in youth hockey or they're in activities, whatever it might be, is all I'm getting at, guys. And but we'll get maybe 30, 35 guys back. And the bottom line is, you want to try to create an opportunity for these guys to come back. And sometimes they can't get back for years. Some of it's because of the geographic location where they're living, and some of it's just because of how darn busy they are.
It still amazes me that Joe Lotto is here every single summer. Has he ever missed a Nagel?
Nope, never missed a Nagel, but Otz lives 1 hour and 20 minutes from here in the summer.
But still, it's every year. That's on his calendar, and it's on his calendar for a reason.
Oh, yeah. No, Otz is great.
Well, I mean, some of your most, I mean, memorable moments in life are in college. I mean, you know, if you can remember them. I mean,
Sure you can. I'll give you one. John Guy Gervais came Friday to our North Dakota game, and Jervs came a few years ago with his dad. And then he has, you know, and I think he, and I think that was the, he's been here twice, and he told that he talked to our team during our Friday pregame skate, and he goes, guys, like, I just can't, I didn't realize how much I love this place till you leave. And he goes, I came back and I just started crying, like when I saw everything. He goes, but then he goes, God, I can't believe how this town's changed, you know. I mean, yeah. In the short period of time. But what you do is, and again, you got to remember, you know, Jerv has his family now. He's got his job. He's a police officer. He's, you know, and they're wrapped up. So you come back and there's that, you reflect back on, mm-hmm. We all know how fun college was. And then the competition and playing and. He goes, how focused you had to be. Like, he goes, how focused you had to be. Because I didn't realize how focused you had to be a hockey player and to be a student. And, how everything that it took. And winning games, how difficult it was. And but it was kind of really cool how he talked to our guys. And I know exactly how he was feeling. He was letting it all hang out. And that's what it's about, guys. And again, you got to remember, when we all went to college, it was pretty easy life.
Yeah.
Didn't have many worries.
No.
They're making sure you had beer money for the weekend.
Yep, and you're playing hockey, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal. You were part of something important. You're part of a team, and that's the one thing I'm lucky. I'm very fortunate that I've always been part of a team. I'm 58 years old, and I've always been part of a team. And I've always been in a locker room, and it's awesome. It's awesome. That's the one thing where I'm lucky. And you know, it's different, but I'm still in a locker room, and it's great. And I'm very lucky. I think we all are.
I still say that Jean-Guy Gervais is perhaps the best hockey name I've ever heard of.
It's right up there.
Great hockey name.
And, you know, one of the biggest clutch players we've ever had. Bar none, the toughest guy we've ever had. And he got his bell rung a few times, but he would do anything it took for the team. And it was always the team first, him second.
When was he here?
Because graduated 06.
I was going to say, he helped you win in Grand Rapids the
big
very
time.
First.
Here, well, here's what people forget, and I told this story. Andrew Murray broke his collarbone against Air Force the last series of the year in Air Force. So we lose Murr. We move Jervs. He might have even been playing wing. And we moved Jervs to our first-line center with Luke Erickson and Brendan Cook.
Oh, yeah.
And Jervs was...
That's still a pretty good line.
Jervs was a stud in Grand Rapids. And then we lose to Denver in overtime. And him and I talked about it. Like, if we would have had our players that were supposed to be there, we had some injuries, there's a good chance we could have beat Denver and went to the Frozen Four. I mean, we did darn well against them, obviously, again, with a shorthanded team.
Well, and you were their toughest test. They, lack of a better
Absolutely.
Term, cruised to... the championship after you guys.
Absolutely. Matt Carl won the Hobie Baker that year.
Yeah.
In 05, and that was a good hockey team we had, boy. And that's it's no different than St. Thomas's freshman class this year. You want to put there'd be no different than St. Thomas's freshman class when they're seniors doing that. That's what we did. 4 years later.
Right, yeah.
4 years later.
You got to pay the dues.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't happen in year one.
No, but I'm just kidding.
Right,
it doesn't happen. But you know what? It can happen fast. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long.
That team was my first year here. I'm like, man, this college hockey thing's
Yeah,
this is
I remember
easy.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Just show up and go to the national tournament.
Yeah, why not?
You've had a handful of NHLers and – you know, if you're an NHLer and you went to Michigan or you went to Ohio State or you went to – they don't mention that so much in the TV broadcast. Never fails.
Yeah, we could –
Brad Hunt from Bemidji State. They always say Bemidji State.
It helps when Eddie's doing the game.
Well, it does.
That too, yeah.
It does.
He knows – yeah, I'm just kidding, but it does help.
That publicity – you can't put a dollar figure on it, what value that has.
100%, Schultze.
Same thing with Frozen Four. I mean, how many newspaper articles were written that year?
Jim Benson told me when we went to the Frozen Four, you take a look at that 2 week. You take a look at that 2 week, obviously blown up mass media that we actually had, whether it was, whether it's print media, whether it obviously, again, electronic, it didn't matter. He said millions. It was worth millions of dollars to our community and our university. Jim Benson's pretty sharp. He's a pretty sharp guy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you can't quantify that. You can't put a price tag on that. And that was pretty cool. I'll never forget that when Jim said that. And that, it makes you feel good that because, again, the big picture is for everybody. And you know what? You want to go. It's not necessarily for ourselves. It isn't, because, again, at the end of the day, and whatever. It's for everybody else. It's for the alumni. It's for the community. And that was so awesome that we could share that with everybody.
Tom Ceratori with us tonight on the Tom Ceratori Show. The Beavers will host Lake Superior State this weekend at the Sanford Center. Games Friday and Saturday. We'll have them both for you right here on the Beaver Radio Network. We're going to come back and visit about the Lake State Series and get the coach to break down the play of Erie Vaisanen. That's coming up next. It's the Tom Ceratori Show here from the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. We're Alan Zutz and Race Miller with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the right next steps for your unique situation. Call 218-444-0202 to get started. That's 218-444-0202. That's Alan Zutz and Race Miller with Thrivent Financial. 218-444-0202.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now, you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Before or after this week's BSU Beavers game, get your fill of pizza, pasta, beer, and wings at the Green Mill Restaurant in Bemidji. Or if you'd rather order takeout or delivery, take advantage of the Green Mill's awesome takeout and delivery specials, such as Friday and Saturday's family meal deal, or Sunday's large one-topping deep-dish pizza for $14.99. Look for menu details online at greenmill.com and call 218-444-1875 to order your very own Green Mill delivery of the game. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the mill.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
The college football bowl season is coming up, and the Picket Bowl Challenge from Paul Bunyan Communications is back. It's free and easy to play. Just pick the teams you think will win the big bowl games for a chance to win up to a $500 credit on your Paul Bunyan Communications account. The first bowl games start Friday, December 16th, so sign up now at paulbunyan.net and get in the game with the free Picket Bowl Challenge from Paul Bunyan Communications.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Tom Ceratori Show here at the Tavern every Wednesday night. Not next Wednesday. Team is playing in Mankato Thursday and Friday of next week. So the team will be on the road on Wednesday. We'll have a show. There'll be the coaches huddle with basketball.
And you and I will not be here.
I'll be here. You won't.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It'll be basketball.
It'll be basketball?
You driving on Thursday, Schultze?
Yes. It's the day of. I don't need to spend nights in hotels if I don't have to.
Yeah, and it's doable with Mankato, that's for sure.
Yes. Lake State this weekend. Ironically, I think that is that Damon? Looks like him from the back. He's got his back to us anyway. Lake State is having a record-wise that I'm sure they're not real happy with, but proof positive of records can be deceiving. They got a good team, don't they?
Big time. And no, I mean, you watch them on tape. They got a good hockey team, and they're going. They're in a little bit of a funk right now, and They got good hockey players. They had a good hockey team. I mean, 2 years ago they're in the national tournament. They win our playoffs, and last year they're home ice. No, it's just sometimes again, you know, it's these tight games. You know, it can go the other way, and they're just, you know, they're in a funk.
Well, you talk about things happen fast. I mean, they were obviously in the tournament just a couple of years ago, and that's quite a turnaround. When you, I mean, can you pinpoint what happened to them?
Well, I mean, you watch them on tape, you really can't, because I'm watching their power play, I'm watching their puck movement. I know they're players. I mean, they got a lot of guys who have, you know, again, who are pretty good players. Put it this way, I mean, you got Louis Bedoya at 44 points last year. Jacob Bankston. Now they got some good hockey players.
Just a little heads up. I'll be on the CCHA's podcast this week. I don't know when it will be available. I believe it's Friday, but I'm not positive. Harrison Watt, the radio guy at Ferris, was on, along with the CCHA's media guy. And they were asking me, you know, what I thought about the season so far, and I'm like, you know, I think every team has question marks right now. And usually by this time of the year, you can usually say, well, this team is going to be home ice, and that team is going to be home ice, and maybe even get to a third team that's going to be home ice. And I said, I think a case could be made for every single team that they could finish fifth. It's that tight. It's that much of a mess, for lack of a better term. Tom, do you agree with that?
I do, Schultz. Like, it's the old ad, we don't have a bad team in our league. We don't have a great team in our league. That means there's a lot of parity. there's a lot of parity.
There's no one superstar.
No.
Where you're like, okay, if he gets hurt, that's a problem.
Well, who's the best player in the league? We all would say 10 different people is what I'm getting
at. Right.
You know, and that's you know.
Well, and the dominance of Mankato, I mean, be blunt, I mean, they, you know, were the leading team the last few years. They've obviously lost some people and are more middle of the road.
But they're still
good.
No, they're still the best team in our league. They got the most talent. They're the deepest. There's no question.
They just happen to be third right now. Which is why I don't look at the standings until the end of January.
It's very early for that, yeah. But they haven't, I mean, you know, they've been very, they've lost more already than they have in the
past.
I mean, they've been so dominant.
Maybe that's a testament to all the other teams, is what I'm getting
right,
at.
Right,
That's all I'm getting. It's not, you know, I mean, that's just testament to everybody else.
Well, and Michigan Tech looked like they were struggling out of the gate. And what are they at first now? I mean, you know, so, I mean, things can change pretty quickly. Just like you saw last year where, you know, your second half of the season, it just wasn't going for you. And the first half, you were looking pretty good. I mean, you just never know.
No, it's a long season. It's that one third of the year, you know, it seems like you can't do anything wrong. One third of the year, you're not doing anything right. Then there's one third of the year, you're trying to figure out who you are.
One stat that was brought up in the podcast for this week is you have played 8 league games. You've got 16 league points. You're averaging 2 points a game. That's bonkers. That is a...
pretty good.
That is a big number.
Yeah. We'll take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you should have home ice if you can average that, right? 2 points a game?
Home ice, you'd
first place?
You'd win the McNaughton
Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
If you get 2 points every game, you win.
66%. How many? 666. Pretty, you know, we'll take that.
Like you said, though, is it sustainable?
And no.
I don't know
tough.
If that high of a number
tough.
Is.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Sometimes as a coach, you sit there and you look at how you lost a point here and you lost a point there, and it was so doable. And that's why, because you know how tough it is to get points. It's hard getting points, and that's why, again, when you give up some of those points and you know it's really tough the second half
of
the year.
You've only played 8 games. Just in the three that you mentioned at the top of the show, you're now close to 2.3 or 2.4 per game,
well, when we won
which
the,
is nuts.
And when we won the league, we had a good start. You know,
nobody could catch you by February.
You know, and but now everybody's losing points. Everybody's losing points. There's maybe a little, you know, little, but everybody's sitting around. They're hovering around the same. You know what? I don't look at the points this early in the year. I always look at the minus. You know, the minus. You can look at the, you know, the win percentage, because that'll tell you exactly that how many points you've lost.
Is it easier that you've lost a point here or there, knowing that you've been in all these games? It's not like you guys have been blown out.
Well, I hope we're not getting blown out.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's going to be times when that happens. I mean, you know, it might be a 5-1, you know, just have a bad night.
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, I get that, Biss, but...
I mean, you've probably been the better team in most of your losses from a at least the games I've seen, I mean, you've outplayed. You just ran into a couple hot goalies.
Yeah, maybe. There's, you know, I look at some of our other losses. I don't know. You know, you got to look. I guess it all depends on what lens you're looking at. You know, the bottom line is I have so much respect for the teams we're playing. So, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, there's times you can win games and there's times where you lose games you can win. And there's times when you're winning games you should lose. So I don't get too wrapped up in all that stuff. But
what does Lake State do well?
Well, they're heavy. They're strong. They defend well. You know, and they're giving up goals right now, but they've just been really tough on us defending down low. And you know, they got experience. They've got a lot of experienced players. I mean, I'm just sitting there going up and down their lineup. They got Piricelli, you know, they've got Jeffers, they've got Bedoin, you know, they've got Arvid Hendrickson, you know, they've got Jacob Bankston. They got two goalies, you know what, with Langan, you know, Langenetter and Isley. I'm just without looking at my notes right here, but they've got a lot of guys that have won a lot of hockey games.
Then what, I mean, why are they losing now? Have they turned over the puck? Just bad turnovers here or there? I mean, they got a lot of experience.
Yeah, who knows? Like, they're close games, and sometimes, again, you can just get into a funk and, you know what, maybe confidence, who knows? You know, the bottom line is that there's a, you know, in our H line, and Gibby and I were saying, you know what, we see sicker cows get better. And the bottom line is the will of a human being can go a long ways. And every weekend is different. And so there's a fine line. There's such a small margin of error. As we talk about all the time, and I almost think that I'm probably overkill, and I apologize to you guys. You know, but there's just a small margin of error. So it doesn't matter. You know, what their records, anybody's record is, take a look at how many one-goal losses you have and how many tight games you have, and take a look at your shots for, take a look at your shots against. You know, those are, there's a lot of things that you can look at, guys, and then you sit there and say, it doesn't make sense, but that's what typically happens.
So is it kind of like the Vikings, in a sense? Like, this year, they're winning all those games that they were losing a year ago? Is it kind of the opposite for Lake? They're losing the games they used to be winning?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that play into it, and there's certain things that probably play into it. That you know, that Damon would know, and I don't know because I'm not under the hood. Yeah. So it's hard for me to sit there, as an outsider.
Right.
I mean, I've been in situations where when you're in a major funk, your guys gotta get you out of it.
Would you say that typical goal margin follows the end of the year standings?
For sure.
Because there's some goofy ones this year.
You know what? Like, you're saying your goal is four goals against differential, 100%.
Bowling Green has scored 53 goals. They've given up 47. They're in first place. Michigan Tech is plus 16, and they're in second place.
Can I – but they're, like, there
they
not,
played the same number of games.
Yeah, like, I'm just saying, but there's not a first place, second place right now. It's too early for that. You know, what are you going by? If you want to go by points, but are you going by points loss, points, winning percentage? So I just think some of those things are just a –
Bowling Green's at 639 winning percentage. Michigan Tech's at 611. Plus 17. The Beavs right now, 667 winning percentage.
Yeah.
And you're plus two.
These are winning tight games. Yeah. Sometimes, there's no rhyme or reason.
By the end of the year, that usually does work out. The
it
team
does.
With the biggest goal differential is first. Second is it usually
Logically,
goes right in
would,
order.
It's pretty darn close. That. It's pretty darn close, Schultz. And there's always extenuating circumstances. There's always a few, you know, it's this team might be, you know, this team might, the goals, four goals against might not be as the differential might not be the same, but usually what happens, they don't give up a lot of goals. You know, so if somebody creeps up ahead of somebody, that means they're really good defensively, and they know how to win 2-1 or 3-2.
This is honestly the first time I've looked at standings this year because it's too dang early.
Yeah. Well, that's what's hard when you have one team with 12 games.
And a couple with eight.
You got with eight. It's just, yeah, so that's why, you know, early on just.
Bowling Green and Mankato play each other this week, and that's the second time they've played each other already. I'm like, what? We haven't played BG, Lake State, or Mankato yet.
That typically doesn't happen. Usually we have a team, you know, it's a first half, second half. So there was an extenuating circumstance. It wouldn't surprise me if they had to change the game a couple years ago for something. You know what I mean? To do that.
Well, Lake's differential, 28 goals for, 53 goals against. I mean, obviously you're going to be struggling if that's the case.
Yes. No, that's not a good. G.
Which surprises you more, the 28 goals scored? Because I mean, they have a lot of power up front there.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's just probably it's a good question. Probably both.
Yeah,
you got a.
How we doing?
How come nobody ever notices the headset and microphones? Tom, we are going to be joined by Yuri Vaisanen here in just a bit.
Number 16. Number 16 on your scorecard. Number one in your heart. Yuri Vaisanen. Yuri's right here, so we're having a little fun with him.
To me, he has been a. Extremely consistent player this year. Very few downs. A lot of positives. It's exactly what you want, right?
I love Yuri. Yuri's a consummate professional, and he plays the game so hard. He loves the game. He practices hard. He's got passion. He cares. And then as a player, he's got unbelievable speed and unbelievable edges. Like he's dangerous. And he plays every situation for us.
When did he get on your radar?
When he's playing junior hockey.
In what, Texas?
Yeah.
And so fans might know. I mean, obviously you're watching lots of film, and Texas. How does that get on your radar? I mean, there's a lot of teams, junior teams out there.
We watch them on Instat, then we go down there and watch them live. And,
Yeah.
Better than going up to northern Canada.
Which you do too, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we go everywhere.
Yeah.
Some European players, it takes a while to get used to.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, 200 by 85.
Yeah.
But number one, just the way the game is played here. Since he played here so long in junior hockey, he came into your program, for lack of a better term, a seasoned North American vet, didn't
he? Yeah, but Yuri played only one year of junior hockey here. Then he was in Norway the year before. Now, when Yuri was younger, and he can tell you this, Yuri was living in Texas. Was, you know, his mom and dad were there. So I'm getting heckled from the peanut gallery right here. They can't hear me. Is that right?
Move it a lot closer to your mom.
Yeah, okay, hold on here. Okay, so how's that better? So, you know, Yuri played 1 year at junior hockey, and he can get into it more with you. But I know he lived here. Yuri, when did you live here? And was it like Bantam and Midget when you were in Texas?
Yeah, like when I was like
13? 12, 13. So,
he
played some minor hockey here, and then he played a year in the North American League. But the year before that, he was in Norway. And, you know, Yuri's – and he'll be able to tell you more about that, too. I don't – you know, I've never even talked to Yuri about some of this stuff. But he played 1 year, so he was at least acclimated to North American hockey at the junior level, Brian. And then, of course, when he was younger, he played hockey. So that helped – probably helped that transition.
How much more confidence do you have in a player who is that steady? As opposed to a player who, and hey, we're humans. We have ups and downs. We have good days and we have bad days.
It's like anything. You know, when you trust somebody, I mean, they're going to play more. And, you know, a lot of it, there's so much that goes into it. And there's so much that goes into it.
You're usually not this quiet, Biff.
Me? What do you mean? I'm ready to talk to Yuri. Tom's ready.
Tommy's
for us
kicking you to the curb.
Well, Tom's ready too. Okay, I've talked to. It's his Erie's turn.
It is. Who do we have last week?
Pick.
We had Pick last week.
We made him wait like an extra 10 minutes because.
Yeah, we can. You know what? I'm fine. We, you know what? Erie's not going anywhere unless you guys are going anywhere.
We will take a break. Come back with Yuri Vaisanen next. It's the Tom Cerutori Show from the Tavern right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
A six-pack in the fridge isn't enough when you've got a whole squad coming over after the game. Do your game prep at First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest or Lakeview Liquor on Lake Bemidji's South Shore. And stock up with coolers and coolers full of all your team favorites from Bemidji's largest off-sale selection of beer, wine, and liquor. Get heads-up coaching wherever you are. Text CHEERS to 218-444-1037. And great deals are just a text away. From Lakeview Liquor on the South Shore Lakeside and First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest.
Hi, my name is Gail Reese, General Manager at Pepsi Nye Bottling of Bemidji. We're looking for a few individuals with a CDL or those looking to obtain one. Nye Bottling is a family-owned business that's been a fixture in the Bemidji area for over 50 years. We've been extremely fortunate to have great long-term employees over the years. You could start a career here with us. Our open positions receive competitive wages and great benefits. Contact me today. I want to talk to you about joining our team. My direct line is 218-751-3847, extension 104. Hope to hear from you soon.
When you don't have time to go to lunch, let Jimmy John's deliver lunch to you. With Jimmy John's, we can get a freaky fresh sandwich to you freaky fast. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com.
At Jimmy John's, we want your sandwich to arrive freaky fast, so it's freaky fresh. So we only deliver within 5 minutes of our stores, and not farther. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com. 5 minutes is not a guaranteed delivery time. Actual delivery times will vary.
Every day made better at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. The end of the year is near, so we are here to spread some cheer. From now to the end of the year, we are offering no payments and no interest for one full year on all hot tubs, saunas, pools, and game tables. That's right, no payments for one full year. So come see us today at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. Look for the big duck across from Target in Bemidji.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
With lips closed and eyes sealed, your sculpture with a pulse.
Welcome back to the Tavern here on the Beaver Radio Network, the Tom Cerveteri Show. Every Wednesday night, starting at 6. We have a coach's show here. Most of the time it's the Tom Cerveteri Show, but the team is playing a Thursday-Friday series next week, so the team will be on the road already.
And it becomes a basketball show.
Biss, can you fix his mic, please?
Sure.
He just put it on the way that T.S. had it on, and T.S. had it on wrong for the entire hour. So. Erie Weissenden is with us. Sophomore. Listed on the roster, hometown of Espoo, Finland. Let's rewind to birth. Where were you born?
I was born in Espoo. At least that's what I've been told.
Okay.
Yeah, in Finland, I'm born in Finland for sure.
When did you come to Texas then?
Well,
let me restart that over. Is there any place between Finland and Texas?
No. So we moved to Texas when I was around 6 years old for my dad's work. And we ended up staying about 9 years.
And then you played 1 year in Norway, and you came back to Texas to play in the North American League?
No, after that we moved back. I played about 4 years in Finland. Then I went to Norway for 2 years to play juniors. Then I played 1 year in Amarillo, and then here.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah.
So you moved to Texas not for you to play hockey.
No.
Your dad's job, and you got exposed to hockey in Texas. Or was it Finland as, you know, a... preschooler.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think everyone plays hockey when they're young in Finland, so I already played before we moved over there, and then I just kept playing. And actually, the youth hockey there was pretty good around that time.
Really?
Yeah, there were some good players.
Well, the Stars were hopping by then.
Yeah.
I suppose. Helps to have the NHL team, but how about rink availability? I mean, it wasn't a problem for you guys to get ice time?
No, not really. There was a lot of ice, actually.
Huh.
Yeah.
What part of Texas?
Dallas.
Tons of ice.
Well, that helps. Yeah, that's a big
Gunnar Olszewski, when he came here, he never played hockey because that little town was he from Texas.
Yeah, they
were. I'll think of that.
Yeah.
There were no hockey rinks around him, so he'd never really even watched hockey. So Texas is a big enough state that it's got pockets of a lot of hockey and then pockets of nothing. So moving around that much, you were exposed to a lot of different styles of hockey. A lot of different styles of coaching.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's a good thing, that you are able to develop some things and learn some things from a lot of different people and kind of put everything together and make you into the player you are now. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I kind of have a unique experience that I think a lot of players don't have, played in so many countries and different levels and everything, played with a lot of different players, so I think I've learned a lot, and I think that's why I'm able to kind of adapt maybe a little bit better than other players.
And, you know, obviously you can speak English well because of all that time you spent. Are you kind of a mentor, or do you kind of help out Jakob and Alexander, who maybe not have spent as much time in the United States learning English?
Yeah, I think I try to help them out. I mean, they get a lot of help, but I think they're getting better, too.
They are.
Right, yeah.
A lot
easier to understand.
Right, as time goes along. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you can speak to that. I mean, it had to been. I mean, you were pretty young, though, when you moved here. Is it easier, you think, because you were 6'7" and learning it versus 16?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because when you're a kid, they just throw you in school, and you're kind of forced to learn it. I mean, there's no other option, so. I think it just comes naturally when you're a kid. But when you're older, it's a little different.
How different is the game in all the different places that you've played?
Oh, I think it's very different. Well, Norway was a really interesting experience because it's not really a hockey country at all. I mean, the men's league there is a pretty good league, but it's not like widely followed within the country. So it was a little different. And in Finland's obviously a big hockey market, but it's a lot different to kind of the style of play and everything around the game as well.
It's a lot more finesse, correct?
Yeah, a lot more finesse, and I think the culture around hockey is a little different too.
Physical play? I mean, it seems to have calmed down. I mean, in American style hockey, it used to be a much bigger part of it. You know, the fighting and the checking and all of that. That seems to have been cleaned up a little bit, but it still seems a little more physical than the European style. Would you say that, or you've experienced it?
Yeah, I also think it's physical in a different way, because here it's there's a lot of big players, and it's pretty physical, like when you get in the corners and everything. But in Europe, you don't really play in corners that much. There's more maybe open ice hitting. And here the game is so fast, there isn't really that much open ice hitting, I feel like, or huge hits that you see on social media or anything like that. But yeah, it's definitely more physical here.
It seems odd to me that on Olympic-sized ice, the game would be slower and more tactical. Where here, you're in a narrow, confined space, and you go a million miles an hour. Is that hard to adjust to? Or since you were here playing as a kid, wasn't that a big deal for you?
Yeah, I mean, especially coming back to play juniors was a big adjustment, because you just have to make much quicker plays. Like you don't have any time to think with the puck like you do in Europe, or curl back in the neutral zone or anything like that. So, I mean, it's definitely adjustment for any player coming here.
So you're in Texas and you get a call from this Tom Ceratori guy in Bemidji State. Is that how you first heard of Bemidji?
No, actually, before that season, Eddie Olczyk, who was here, who was an assistant here, he actually had a phone call with me. That was the first time I heard of Bemidji State, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then during the season there in Amarillo, Mike Gibbons called me, and we had a few phone calls with him before I got an offer.
What made it seem like a good fit for you?
Well, I just think the program has a really good history, and at the time, I think the team was going in the NCAA tournament to play Wisconsin too, so
that doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
yeah, that helped a lot in the decision making process, and you know, I like talking to the coaching staff. I really like their kind of coaching philosophy and kind of what they stand for.
How similar is Bemidji, or not similar, to Finland? I mean, it seems like it would be kind of on par. Weather-wise, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty similar because we have a ton of lakes in Finland, and it gets pretty cold too. But honestly, where I'm from in Finland, it doesn't get this cold. It gets way colder here. And
very
more
few places get as cold as here.
Northern Finland, it gets this cold, but not where I'm from,
and
down south.
And you're the southern part of so Espoo's.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes outside of Helsinki, right next to Helsinki.
You, to me, have been an instant 200-foot player. As a center, you better be.
Yeah.
But have you always been good in both ends of the rink?
I don't think my coaches would agree with that, but that's something I've I think I've kind of struggled with over the years. I've been a pretty offensive player always, and you know, I've always been told that I need to be a better defender and play a 200-feet game, and I think I've kind of developed that over the years.
And Bemidji has that kind of influence too, doesn't it? I mean, everybody's expected to be back on. I mean, it's a total team effort and plan.
Yeah, everyone's expected to be a 200-foot player here. There's no one that's really an exception. Doesn't matter how skilled you are, you got to defend here.
To me, Eric Martin has developed into that kind of a player too. And he and I chatted a couple of weeks ago, and he goes, hey, when I was a freshman, I just thought I was here to score goals. And you look at him now, and he's making plays at the crease on both ends of the ice.
Yeah.
And you can develop that, and you can learn that. That doesn't make it always easy. But isn't it rewarding to be playing on that end of the ice too?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you get to play more offense when you defend well. So I think that's the main part. And
I never thought of it that way. You get to play more offense if you defend better.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Well, I mean, if you're spending all the time in your defensive zone on a shift, you're not going to be able to score a goal. You got to get it out and go to the bench, right?
Yeah, and if you play more offense and you play less defense.
That too.
Yeah.
So you were here a year ago. And you had all that firepower. I mean, obviously, records were set by that top line. They're all gone now. And, I mean, did you have any worry about, hey, how are we going to replace? I mean, obviously, yourself included could contribute, but how are we going to replace all that scoring?
I mean, not really, because I knew our class, and I knew all the guys we had returning, and I see how skilled everyone is every day, and I had a lot of trust that a lot of guys were going to step up and we're going to take care of it.
Doesn't hurt when you have 4 and 7 and 28 on your team. Those three guys are on the back end. You should be all right.
Oh, yeah.
You're maybe
going
to win a game 2-1 instead of 4-3, but.
Well, and then you get, obviously, you know, the three transfers, and you got new people coming in. Leighton Road, obviously, has made a big impact on the team. I mean, to me personally, that was a bit of a surprise that you're able to reload and come back that fast. But obviously the transfer portal and the folks that you got in here help do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the transfers we got were really good fits. I mean, it's probably pretty hard to pick players from the transfer portal. I mean, you don't really know them that well. You just get to watch them. But I think all the guys that we brought in are great guys in the locker room and some of our best players easily.
As a freshman, you come in last year and everybody's new. That has to be hard. And you don't know anybody. You look at those three guys, and they've been in college hockey for 3 or 4 years, and they're the veterans. They're the ones that are being relied on, and they come in and everybody's new. How did you guys all welcome those guys plus all the freshmen in?
I don't know. I mean, it happened pretty naturally, but I think instantly, honestly, we had really good chemistry, like, within the group, and a really good kind of team spirit.
Common or is that rare?
I think it's rare that it happens so fast, because it really felt like within the first few weeks we were all kind of a family.
And did you go home over the summer for a little while, or do you stay here?
Oh, yeah, I spent the whole summer in Finland, yeah.
Okay. And then when do you come back? Like early August, something like that?
Yeah, early August. I can't remember what it was, but, one of the first.
And so that's when you would have met those guys for the first time?
Right, right.
Did you play golf? I know that they play golf, some of them. Pickering was here last week, said that really helped bond him to some of your teammates.
Yeah, we did play a lot of golf at the country club with a lot of the guys. I think that helped a lot, too, get to know them.
Yeah.
Like, I actually caddied for Mitchell Martin in a golf tournament, so I think that helps with our line chemistry a little, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good nugget of information.
Is he a good golfer? He must be if you're caddying for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good golfer. He didn't do very well in the tournament, but that's not my fault. I gave him all the right information.
Can't blame the caddy.
Yeah.
So what did you do back home to train this summer?
Just a lot of lifting, focusing on my strength and speed, because I think that's the main things I need to improve on to be good at this level. And tried to skate as much as I can, and a lot of golf.
So Elias was here a couple weeks ago. He said he was back home training, And Nicholas Lidstrom came strolling into the rink and gave him a few pointers. You ever had that happen to you? Full tongue-in-cheek with that question.
But. Who's the biggest Finn hockey player in your mind?
I think it might be... That's actually a tough one.
Yeah, there's quite
a few. It's either Jari Kurri or Teemu Selänne.
Yeah. And so I guess for you, it would be Teemu Selänne coming into the rink in an example, right, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him a few times, but...
Never given you any pointers?
No. He hasn't. Some other Finnish legends have, but...
Like who?
When I'm... Ville Peltonen, he... I don't remember when he retired, but he's a Finnish legend as well. I used to go to his hockey camps when I was younger for many years. And we're actually good family friends with Jiri Lehtinen, who played with the Stars.
Really?
Yeah, our families met when we were lived in Dallas. We lived close to each other.
Oh.
So, I mean, that was really cool for me as a kid, you know, getting to meet and talk to my favorite player.
Yeah, that's
not everybody
cool.
gets to do that.
No.
How long did he play in Dallas? A long time.
Yeah, I mean, he got his jersey retired, so.
Yeah. Was he on
years.
The Stanley Cup Brett Hull scoring goal
yeah.
team? Mm. And were you there then? That must have been pretty exciting.
No, that was 99.
Oh, yeah, I forget.
I wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, don't do that. Oh, no. See, and I'm bitter because they left Minnesota, and that was long before you were born.
Yeah. This team has had stretches where you guys seem to score at will, and then there's times where it's just a struggle, and I realize that, you know, last Friday to last Saturday happens throughout the course of a weekend when you got to play a team back-to-back, but how can this offense be more consistent?
I think power play is a huge part of it. I mean, last weekend we got a few power play goals, but obviously...
Those have come in bunches, too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the power play's got to be more consistent. I mean, that's one of the kind of easiest ways to score goals, I guess. One of the most important things is to win the special teams battle every night, and we haven't really done that, and I think that's hurt us.
If I'm remembering correctly, Friday night you were like 10 out of 13 in faceoffs.
Yeah.
It's a monster number. How long have you worked to be that good on the dot?
Well, I've been struggling on the dot a little this year and last year because I didn't play center. The last time I played center was probably, I don't know, 8 years ago. Mm. I was always a winger. So when coach moved me to center, I think the main issue I had was face-offs because I've never really taken a lot of them, and there's a lot of big, strong guys I have to take them against. So.
Well, and, you know, I played center growing up, and, I mean, once you get into that position, isn't it something, I mean, you remember after a game how many face-offs you won and the face-offs you lost because, I mean, that's a big part of, I mean, fans don't. Coaches might remember a little bit from as a center, though. I mean, that's a thing for you, right? I mean, you know probably when you get done with the game how you did in the face-off dot.
Yeah, you do, and that's a stat we look at as a team, too, because it's really important to start with possession. That's something we talk about before every game.
Well, your number one penalty killer is your goalie.
Yeah.
Your second-best penalty killer is win that first faceoff.
Yeah.
Clear puck, and now you only got to kill a penalty for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Or on vice versa. I mean, win an open faceoff on a power play, and you can, one, control play, but, you know, you're obviously going to get some scoring opportunities.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever been on a power play with... or seen or been on the same team with a power play with guys like Wills Mullick and Elias Rosen and what they can do in somewhat non-conventional spots for a defenseman?
No, I don't think I've seen it before, really. I mean, they're two pretty special players, obviously. They're going to have great hockey careers after they're done here. So, no, I mean, obviously I haven't seen any defensemen that good anywhere else.
How's the system here differ from where you were before?
In juniors?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit faster and more skilled. I mean, I think I think puck possession is more of a focus here, whereas in juniors it's more like the coach gets on you if you turn a puck over. I mean, it's not really a skill game where I played juniors, but I mean there isn't a whole lot of a difference. More structured, more detailed.
What's your favorite road trip in the league?
In the league, I'd like to say I like Michigan Tech.
It's got There's a good no atmosphere, atmosphere like right? it,
yeah,
is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, I think everything about that trip is good, except how far away it is.
And but that's one of the closest ones.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like everything's good there. The rink's good, and the hotel is even good. Food's good.
What about the atmosphere with North Dakota on the day after Thanksgiving? I mean, for me, that was probably the best crowd and atmosphere that we've seen since the pandemic.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely pretty special. I mean, it's not every day you get an atmosphere like that, so you definitely appreciate it every time.
And then the next night, you go and the place is filled up for warm-ups. Very rarely is that the case anywhere
else.
Yeah.
And about five times the crowd, right? I mean, what, 12,000?
It was sold out.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that place is really special. I mean, there's no other rink like it in college, I believe.
You got that right. There's some pro rinks that aren't that nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The old Joe Louis Arena? You ever in there, Biss?
No, but I've heard.
Oh. I've actually been there. Yeah.
Have you?
What a dump. Oh, it was bad. Yeah. Like 20-year-old sterile beer smell.
Oh.
It was bad. And the Ralph has been built for 20 years and doesn't look a day old.
Yeah.
And the Sanford Center, quite honestly, has held up pretty well for 12 years.
It has held up pretty, yeah, it has. Yeah.
How important were the amenities of the rink to you and your decision to come here?
I mean, I think it's obviously a huge, or not huge, but it's, I mean, it definitely plays a role because, I mean,
you want to be comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. You want to come to a place.
Not a dump, right?
Yeah, you want to come to a dump. You want
to
come to a place you really enjoy and want to be every day. I mean, we spend a ton of time at the rink, so I think it's super important.
How much time do you spend there on a given week? Like this week, how much have you been at the rink? Between lifting and
Well, I'll
practicing.
Tell you what, today it was probably 6 hours.
Wow.
Or more.
Really?
Yeah. We skated. We had skills session in the morning, and then we had weights, and then practice was really long, too, and then a little video after. So
it was just a while. Today.
Yeah, it's not usually that long.
No, because, I mean, you got class and things to go to. But
right.
So what do you want to do when your hockey days are done?
When my hockey days are done? I always kind of wanted to start my own business and kind of get in that area because that's, you know, my dad's an entrepreneur. I believe his father was too, and kind of runs in the family. So that's something I really aspire to do.
Here or back home?
I honestly don't know because wherever
you can make the most money.
Yeah, well that would be probably here. So
interesting. Is Finland's a democracy? Is that correct? I mean, you vote, and is it similar to the United States in that regard?
Yeah, it's similar in that regard, but, I mean, there's some differences.
Well, and you're right next to Russia, right?
Yeah.
Which has gotten a little bit more dicey now.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm horrible at geography, and geography and math are
two subjects we try not to broach too much on the show, but I knew that it was next to Russia.
What other countries are around Finland?
Well, we're neighbors with Sweden. We share a border with Sweden, Norway, Russia.
Okay. So how many other countries did you travel when you were a kid?
Where did I travel?
When you were living over there, and obviously not in Texas, but.
Well, I've been a few places, Spain, Estonia, Latvia, Russia, Sweden, Norway. I can't remember.
Well, I would think it's like
Czech Republic. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, it's so close by. Yeah, Europe it's not like here. Yeah.
Europe is so cool because you can you know, in some places you can drive 2 hours and be in a different country and speaks a different language, different culture. It's so it's such a kind of unique place to be in that regard.
Right. I mean, you can just like the East Coast almost. I mean, my sister lives in Baltimore. She can drive 2 hours to Boston, New York, Philadelphia. Yeah. We're here. Good luck. And, I mean, 2 hours ain't going to get you anywhere.
And 2 hours between all of those, it's like four different countries too.
In a way, yeah. So what is your major then? Business?
Yeah, business with an emphasis in finance.
Erie, best of luck this weekend. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate
it.
Erie Bisonen joining us, the sophomore out of Finland. He and the Beavers will take on Lake State this Friday night at the Sanford Center. Game two then on Saturday. 6:30 pregame show on Friday. 5:30 pregame show on Saturday.
Yes.
Women's hockey's off this weekend. Basketball team's on the road this weekend. All of this info available to you, BeaverRadioNetwork.com.
Game on.
Yeah. This week is kind of flying by.
It's a busy week.
I'll admit, I'm not quite ready for the Lakers yet.
Last home series of the year. And, well, I shouldn't. Yeah. Series, because, of course, it's an exhibition game against the Gophers on the 31st. So last chance to really to see them until early January.
Which that's a one-game shot with Duluth.
Right. You're right. Home and home. And yeah. So, yeah. Get to the Sanford Center.
Yes. We will see you there. If you can't make it, we'll have it for you right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.